Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Quite a bit of NFL tonight. Of course, the Derek Carr contract is a big deal, literally and figuratively, that we've been talking about. Front office stuff going on in Kansas City has been intriguing, to say the least. And I talked in one of the previous segments about the notion of tanking in the NFL. Our next guest has had great stuff on all of those topics, in particular recently the tanking topic on his weekly column on the MMQB on SI.com, the Monday Morning Quarterback. He's got a great podcast as well, The Business of Sports. We'll get into some of those topics right now with my next guest. You can find him on Twitter at Andrew Brandt. Andrew Brandt joining me right now on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew, happy Sunday evening to you. Appreciate you making time. How are you doing?
Yeah, no problem. Always NFL never has an off season, so it's fun.
Yeah, it's good. You got that right. And I, you know, Andrew, before we get into some of the football stuff, we've been having some fun on the show tonight with this LeVar Ball thing. LeVar Ball, the rumors of him showing up on Monday Night Raw tomorrow, and of course LeVar was doing his LeVar things at the draft. You had an interesting take on LeVar Ball fairly recently about, you know, you spent nearly a decade in a front office up in Green Bay.
Yep.
And the LeVar Ball and people like LeVar Ball, it's not something that's just inherent in basketball. I mean, this is a sports thing more than it is just a basketball thing. Can you speak to LeVar Ball and from what you've observed where he would fall on the scale of helicopter parent that you maybe dealt with in your time in Green Bay?
Well, in my time, I was 10 years with Green Bay Packers, but before that, I was 10 years an agent. And
right.
you see these guys all the time, especially from the agent point of view. And when you represent a player, I think a lot of people don't know this, sometimes the last person you deal with on his account is the player. You're dealing with fathers, mothers, aunts, uncles, friends, wives, girlfriends, sometimes wives and girlfriends, and you're just trying to follow the whole picture because there are a lot of people involved with these players. And dealing with parents like LeVar Ball is more common than you think. Now, they're not as public. We don't have as much social media presence in the past as we do now. They're not out there. But if I was representing Lonzo Ball, I'd look at him as a welcome addition. In other words, that's who I'm dealing with. I understand. I get it. There's no pretense here. There's no sabotaging that's going to be going on. And frankly, I look at him as taking the role of what agents do, which is saying no to everyone. Everyone that comes to the player with this idea, this proposal, this business opportunity, this request for money, hangers-on, people that he grew up with, whatever it is, that's really the job of the agent to say no to all these guys. And if I'm the agent, I got LeVar. You know, he can be the guy to say no. He handles that. So you deal with them. And when you bring up my background with the Packers, I think that's where it could be problematic, and that's where I think LeVar Ball is going to cut it off. In other words, it's one thing to bug the agent or to be part of that player side of it. But when you get to the team, that's a different story. And I would have sometimes mothers or cousins, you know, say, what about his play time and when I was with the Packers? But, you know, I would say nicely, you know, you need to stay in your lane on this. We have experts, professionals handling this. And, you know, LeVar Ball, UCLA coach Steve Alford said he was never a problem. And I would think that's going to be the case with the Lakers. I think he will stay in his lane and not get into any kind of coaching or playtime issues as we go forward.
Interesting. Andrew Brandt joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Andrew, just shifting gears to football. Your most recent column talks about the New York Jets and the notion of quote-unquote tanking in the NFL. And I feel like some of these, with the Cleveland Browns and the injection of some of the baseball folks who are now there, where that type of franchise building is more public and more prevalent, has now kind of opened the door for the NFL. I'm curious your take from, we understand the organizational structure of the tanking model, which is we're going to take some steps back to eventually hopefully take some big steps forward. How detrimental is it for the players, though, who observe, if you're a New York Jet player, like how demoralizing is it right now watching your franchise make make moves like this, and to be able and reading things where the tone of what people, what players are reading and hearing is probably like, this is a franchise that's literally trying to lose football games right now at an organizational executive level.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from, because I see, it's interesting, you hear these words like tanking when players are released that are older players. Now, you know, when David Harris and Eric Decker were curiously timed, but if they were released in February when all the other veterans were released, I don't know if we'd be hearing the tanking. Listen, the Jets had players like Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brandon Marshall, Darrell Revis, Harris, Decker on the team last year, and they went 5-11. So now they're going to go with some younger players in those roles, along with older players like Forte and the quarterback now, McCown. Does that mean they're tanking? I mean, are they really going to finish a lot worse with some younger players than these older guys? I just think, you know, sometimes people equate tanking with going with players you haven't heard of.
Yeah.
And for some reason, players you haven't heard of mean they're not good, and that's not the case at all. So, listen, I was with the Packers, you mentioned, 10 years. We were always, even with Brett in his late 30s, we were always in the lowest, one of the lowest, youngest teams in the league. And frankly, we always did well. So if tanking means playing young players, that's what good teams do. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Brett Favre, and it obviously helps in this NFL when you have that quarterback.
Right.
And I think the perception is that some of these teams are trying to get in position to get that quarterback. How much does the structure of the draft, where you're literally draft wise rewarded for losing, lend itself to the perception that there is, you know, maybe silently at least a hope at a GM and above level that this that the roster retooling and the young players that you're talking about actually result in losses instead of wins?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard in football. I mean, again, maybe you have once in a generation you have a player that, if you can get that number one pick, you can transform your franchise. Maybe the Andrew Luck pick a few years ago when the Colts were so bad, when Peyton was hurt. But it's just really hard to come up with that. And what are you going to tell your players, not to block or tackle or get run over? I mean, I just think some of these things you look at in different ways and you're trying to find an answer, but there maybe is not one there. So I think what we're talking about with tanking is an organizational philosophy to play young players. If people want to accuse that of tanking, so be it. I think it's more prevalent in basketball because you have the transformational players at the top of the draft, unlike football with so many more players and codependent parts.
Yeah, that's a great point about the comparison of the two sports. Andrew Brandt joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew, Derek Carr is now, at least by annual contract value, the highest paid player in football. We know that it's more about the guaranteed money than the annual value, but the perception, at least, that he just hit it, he just scored and is now the highest paid player. Are we now just at a stage with these quarterbacks, Andrew, where it's sort of just a conveyor belt of, if a quarterback is above the line of what's perceived to be a franchise quarterback by their employer, that the next one's just going to be $25.2 million instead of the $25 million that Derek Carr got? Are we just sort of at that stage, or do you think eventually we'll see a quarterback hit a second contract that significantly takes the market up several notches?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, I'm sort of the guy that maybe rains on the parade of some of these numbers, because I think the general media is, oh, yeah, $25 million, that's so great. Well, I'm the guy that kind of looks behind the curtain. And to me, it's a $47 million deal over 2 years, and then we'll see what happens. Now, I know everyone's listening saying, well, of course they're not going to cut Derek Carr after 2 years. But the point is, they could. And there's nothing guaranteed after the 2 years. So I just look at these deals and I just wonder, you know, with so much leverage, why isn't this happening? Why isn't a Derek Carr saying, Raiders, you know, instead of $125 million, maybe give me $110 million, $115 million. But just guarantee it, which, of course, the Raiders would never do.
Yep.
Because they'll give you the happy face number that doesn't have any security to it.
Yeah,
I don't know what we're going to see. To me, it's not so much the number. Are we going to see a guaranteed contract even if not all 5 years, maybe all 4 years, 3.5 years. That's what I'm looking for in these next deals.
Yeah, I just think it would have been fascinating to, and I think Andrew Luck might have been the guy who could have pulled this off. Yeah. It would have been risky, but from a PR standpoint, because when he was getting his second deal done, that was an Indianapolis team that was a mess in the front office with Gregson as the general manager. I think he's a guy that may have just been able to pull off the whole thing where he just stares him in the face and says, okay, franchise tag me once, twice, three times, and eventually he actually hits free agency. Now, this would have played out over a number of years, but yeah. He might have been the guy who could have pulled that off. He did pull off getting the most guaranteed money, if I'm not mistaken, though, right?
No, he did, and it's complicated with football deals because the guarantees trigger and trigger and
sure.
trigger every year. But he has total of 87, which, again, puts him in kind of maybe a top 25% of NBA, because you see these NBA guys
yeah.
getting these $90 million deals that are all guaranteed. So, yeah, I mean, I think the quarterback market is due for some kind of correction. We've been hovering around 21, 22, 23, 24 for the past few years, going back to Rodgers and Breeze and Peyton's deal with Denver. You know, this takes it a little higher, but it'll be interesting to see not even so much Stafford and Cousins next, but when Rodgers does a new deal in a few years, or when, I don't know, pick a name, Cam Newton does a new deal, if we inch even closer to $30 million.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Matt Ryan is in that mix, too,
Matt
to maybe
Ryan,
get an extension
right.
at, mm-hmm. at some point. Yeah, Andrew Brandt, you can find him on Twitter, at Andrew Brandt, and Monday Morning Quarterback does great stuff there with his weekly column. And the podcast is, I enjoy your podcast, too, Andrew. I'm kind of a junkie
yeah.
for that sort of thing, so the podcast is excellent.
Yeah, I appreciate that. What I try to do is sort of break down world industry leaders in sports, whether agents, team execs, marketers, you know, people that have products out there in sports, and really sort of take you inside the mind of these people. I think it's a void that I saw out there with sports podcasts, and hopefully I'm filling it.
Yep, The Business of Sports is the podcast, and you can get it all the places you normally download podcasts. Andrew Brandt joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew, appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening, and we'll do it again soon. Thanks.
Happy to do it, Sean. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.